All right, welcome to your last class of Living by the Book. You know who I am already. So John chapter 1, and I want to round the year out to this, and some of the things that I may say in this class will be something that you've heard throughout the year or throughout the course, but I want to kind of stamp it home so that we can understand what we're doing when we say we are living by the book. You know, I've said it before, we're really living as the book. And John 1 talks about it, I think it's in verse 14, you know, it's one of my favorite scriptures. When talking about this book, it says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now, right there immediately for me, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Now the word of God translated from being ink on a paper to being live and direct right in front of me, breathing and speaking and thinking just like you and I, right? So now it eliminates the excuse of trying to quote something and not being it. It eliminates the excuse of trying to stand on the word and not stand as the word, right? Like standing on business, right? Well, we got to stand as business. And that's so dope because he said, I got to be about my Father's business, but we are the Father's business, right? But the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, immediately, we've translated the word, I'm going to say it again, from being just on the paper, right, to being live and direct in front of us as a live, living character in action. It makes more sense for when it says the word was made flesh, it almost makes it all make sense because now you move from doing to whoing, right? Like you move from trying to do a principle to actually realize that I am the principle in the flesh, and I've got to allow myself to manifest the God nature from the inside of me, outside of me. The quickest way to understand what God originally intended for us as mankind, first you go to Genesis, but then the next best thing is to go to John 1, and then Jesus begins to show you what it looks like to be what God originally intended. In his image and his likeness, right? And so somewhere along the line, there were two trees in the garden, the tree of life, right? Very simple, straight cut, tree of life, simple. One thing, tree of life. And then there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Uh-oh, automatically, now it starts getting complicated. It starts getting confusing. It starts getting where now you're making choices because it's knowledge of good and evil. And ever since we partake, and I'm going to say we partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, now we begin to see our relationship with God and our function with God through the lens of knowledge, right? Through the lens of gaining knowledge, and then we gain the knowledge about good and evil, and not through the lens of life. And so now we have a lot of information, right, but not a lot of formation, you know, in the form and image of God. A lot of information, but not a lot of formation. And this is why I love Jesus. I often say this, that the Bible is a story about who you and I are. But I love it because I always say the red words tell us who we are in the story. Why? Because Jesus tells us how to actually be the word manifest in the flesh. And so now living by the book, we graduate to actually living as the book. You get it? My favorite scripture, we've been going to it all semester, John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This is Jesus talking. In verse 40 says, but you will not come to me. That tells me that we can really, you know, we always try to study the word, right? But you can be studying the word, and if you don't know that the word is who you are, then you could be studying improperly, right? Like, you could be studying to try to master a principle when it's actually telling you the personality that you have and that you need to take off some of these other ideas so that the, you know, the scripture says, let your light so shine. It doesn't say shine your light. It says, let your light shine. What is it saying? You got some stuff that's covering your light. You got some knowledge that you've picked up from somebody or somewhere that's covering. You can even get a bunch of knowledge from the scripture and not, you remember the scripture, and I don't have time to go there, but it says having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That means you have a form of him, but you deny the power because you're walking in the knowledge of, you're just trying to walk in the knowledge of things. You'd have memorized all the scriptures. You'd memorize all the affirmations. You memorize all the confessions. You memorize all the prayers, but you still don't ever be like Christ. I heard a man say the other day, you ain't a real Christian until you can do what Jesus did. Whew. Yeah, that X out a lot of people. Sometimes you feel like it's Xing out us, right? But what does it mean to be like Christ? That's the word in the flesh. Another one is John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. When you look at the word spirit, if you look it up in the Greek and even the Aramaic and Hebrew, it means a wind or a breath. Remember now, in the beginning, God breathed into man, and man becomes a living soul. It is not until the wind comes in do we become alive, right? Man becomes a living soul, not just a soul, right? But a living soul, tree of life, right? And it is the wind. It is the spirit. It is the breath that quickens or makes alive. The flesh on its own profits nothing, right? And I know we go into that conversation about the flesh and, you know, carnality and everything, but it's really not. It's really saying, if there's no wind, come on, take a breath. If there's no wind inside of this flesh that I call my body, it doesn't matter. It is no profit at all, because it's the spirit or the wind or the breath that makes it alive. The flesh profits nothing. So watch, he brings the word along with the wind and makes it a life, makes it a live thing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are not only wind, they are not only breath, they don't know the breath of God, they're not only spirit, but they are life. You get it? So I'm going to say it again, John 16, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I remember when Jesus is talking, when they come and get him right before this time to crucify him, and they said he's looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He says this, he says, I am he, and everybody falls back, right? There's life in the words that he says, because it's coming from life in the word that he is, right? He's not just speaking empty quotes or empty confessions or empty prayers or empty songs, or, you know, y'all know how we do it, right? You got these songs we singing all day, and we pray for 39,000 hours, right? We make 29 million confessions and affirmations and still don't even scratch the surface to the miracle power that Jesus walked in, and watch this, the miracle power that Jesus was. You and I have the same ability and the same power, but we have to change our perspective and our relationship to God and our relationship to what the word of God is. I'm going to change that. Change our relationship to who the word of God is. I'm going to say it clear that the word of God is who you are. I'll let that sit there for a moment. You can say it. Say that to me. Say, the word of God is who I am. Come on, say it again. You should make that part of your affirmation. You should make that part of your confession. The word of God, say it. The word of God is who I am. Come on, I'm going to say it again. I want to say it one more time so that it can affirm in our minds and affirm in our understanding, and it kind of be etched in our, it's almost a rhythm that is etched in our understanding. We'll be saying it all day long. The word of God is who I am. Now, once I change that, then I realize when it says in Isaiah, my word that I sent forth shall not return void, but it'll accomplish what I said it to, right? Now we know that it's not a thing or a sound in the air, but it's actually a person. We were sent from God as the word of God in the flesh. Yeah. That's who you and I are. When I change my perspective, I move from the grinding and the grueling of trying to study and accrue more knowledge, right? I move from that to, watch this, John 8:32, and ye shall know, come on, this is knowledge right here. This is the only knowledge that you need. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from living a lifeless life trying to chase rhetoric and idea and doctrine. It's the spirit that quickeneth. Listen, even in Romans, Paul starts talking about it. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation of them who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you hear that? Has made me free from the law of sin and death. What you saying? The law of the spirit of life. Alive. The spirit of spirit, the breath of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. The truth shall make you free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Well, I'm trying to figure it out through the scriptures and trying to dot all my I's and cross all my T's and make sure I do everything right. Right? I love it in Matthew 5 when Jesus starts talking. And he upgrades what we thought we were doing by being special or trying to be holy or trying to be righteous with our law-keeping word on the paper-keeping ways. Watch what he said. He says, you say if you, you know, if you lay with a woman, you commit adultery. But I say if you look on her and you thinking about it, you commit adultery already. Oh, now he upgrades us. And that whole Matthew 5, he's upgrading us. If they slap you on one cheek, turn the other. He's making it, put your money where your mouth at. You ever heard that before? Yeah, yeah. He's changing us from being actors to actually being live action in the flesh. Being what God looks like standing right here looking at you and me in the mirror. Right? And now all the signs and the wonders and miracles are only results of the life that's coming from you. And if you really would pay attention to Jesus, I love it. I appreciate them all. But when I look in the scripture, I start to find out where I really stand in my relationship with God. You get me? I could be standing in Elisha's shoes or Elijah's shoes. And those are some great shoes to stand in, right? I could be standing David and Solomon. I could be standing Abraham. But Jesus starts talking and he says some stuff. And I would wonder why he would say it, but he's getting the business clear. He says, he said, Moses received that bread from heaven. He said, I am the bread. Then he started talking about Moses another time. He said, Moses dead. I said, God, dog, Jesus, why you got to go so hard? But he's making a point. Then he said, don't say you're of Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. Wow. What is he saying? Before whatever you've been building yourself and whatever personality you've been building yourself upon, the prophets and the law and all these famous Bible stories you want, before you build yourself on all these different people, we can get great principles from them. But there's only one that died for you and to show you how to die in the resurrection. There's only one that says, I am the resurrection. There's only one that says, I am the bread of life. There's only one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one that can say that. And then that same one that said that says, the works that I do, you're going to do them also. What in the world is this? That same one that says, you know, I'm the way, truth, and the life. I'm the bread of life. I am the resurrection. That same one that says, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That same one that says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he going to do also. That's the same one. That same one that says, I'm in the Father in me, you in me, and I'm in you. We both in the Father. The same one that prayed in John 17, that they may be one as we are one. Father, let them be one as we are one. He's trying to tell us something. You understand what I'm saying? And so now my perspective, we've got to check the premise of where we learned how to have a relationship with God. Who taught us how to relate to God? Right? And many times, I know through religion, a lot of times even through word of faith or whatever, we learned that our relationship to God was distant and not definite. Woo, that's good. It was a distant relationship and not definite. So now we're hoping that he speaks to us. We're hoping that he's saying something when he's already set it all up in place already. And all we've got to do is sit down into the destiny that we are. Did you hear that? We need to sit down in the destiny that we are. And Jesus is hitting his home every time he talks to us. I even realize when I listen to Jesus, he's actually telling me how to function in the characteristics of God. How to function. Then he says, when you pray, we're praying all these prayers. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father. Wow. One with God. They got mad at him because he called God his Father, making himself equal with God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then I'm going to take care of the rest of it. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts and forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Immediately, he puts us in a place. At the beginning of this prayer, he makes us pray. Watch this. Prayer is a request. He makes us pray. Equality with God. Wow. Immediately, he does this. Immediately, he puts us in a position where we become the Word of God. And so, if I leave you with anything this semester, I want you to understand that I must make my perspective of who God is in me and who God is to me. I have to change my perspective from something being distant, from some words that were sent to me, to he was telling me who I am. And then all I got to do, watch this, you ready? All I got to do is align my mind to the divine. You ready for it? I'm going to give you another. You ready? And you'll never forget this. You can put this down. Align my mind to the vine. John 15. I love it. He says, I'm the true vine. He just said, I'm the vine. I would quote it wrong sometimes. Say the vine, you the branch. No. He said, I want to read it. Let me read it to you. He says, I am the true vine. That means they got some other vines out there. Do it for the vine, right? They got some of y'all ain't know what that is. They got some other vine. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is every branch in me that bear not fruit, bear fruit, he purges it so he can bear more fruit. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, he cut it off. If you abide in me, that means you live in me, and my word is alive in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Over and over again, Jesus is trying to tell us, let's stop minimizing ourselves and living at a lower frequency. Let's stop living at a lower vibration. Let's stop living at a lower reality and understand that right now as I sit here and right now as you listen to this, and you can play this over and again, right now as we speak, right now you are the word in the flesh. Whatever Jesus did, I can do. I got to believe what he said. If I don't believe what he said, then if I don't believe that I'm one with God, then I'm not a believer. I've got to believe it, right? So now I'm graduated from, and of course I think this is first year class, so you're not graduating from school, right? But at this particular time, this is a graduation lesson. You're actually graduating from living by the book to living as the book, because you are the word in the flesh. When Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. All right, have a good semester.